Good morning. Will you please stand for the pledge and will you remain standing for the moment of silence for John Shores and Alejandro Rangel?
Thank you very much.
This is a public comment period. I don't have any slips up here. Is there anyone in the public who would like to address the board this morning? Okay, seeing no one, we'll go down the consent calendar. I have a request to pull C2. Is there any other requests?
Chairman, I'd just like to say I'll step out at C2. We have a business relationship with that company.
Okay, so we'll act on everything except C2.
Don't move.
Okay, I got a first, I got a second.
Second.
I got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You get that?
Okay.
Now we go down to C2.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Second? I got a move and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0. Thank you. I think we have, okay, we have to go down to, we don't have a public hearing. We go down to 9.
Nine.
Okay, B9. David?
Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, Supervisors, CEO Robinson, and Council Doring. I'm your Director of Child Support Services, David Ingersoll. In the past 23 and a half years, I've worked to protect this community, to serve this community, and to help hold people accountable. 8 years ago, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors appointed me to be the director of a brand new department, Child Support Services. I believe this department has made progress since that time. Historically, the District Attorney Family Support Division, which was the predecessor agency to Child Support Services, controlled its own financial future. It could earn incentives based on the collections it did, based on the work it did. DA Family Support Division was able to provide a safe harbor for other departments' employees when they were facing tough times financially. In the beginning of Child Support Services' life, we too were able to do that. That was then, this is now. The state of California changed a functioning financial process, that of earning incentives based on the work you did, and then froze our funding. By not filling positions, by careful stewardship, the Child Support Services Agency has, for over 7 years, avoided the reduction in force, until now. For fiscal year 08-09, the state has reduced our allocation by about $835,000. This is short-sighted. Historically, your Department of Child Support Services collected about $3 for every dollar spent on the program. With the increased cost of the new automation system, that has gone down slightly to about $2.57. Of the $13 million of the $48 million we collected in the last fiscal year directly went back, as required by law, to reimburse welfare collections at the federal, the state, and even the local level. The rest of it, most of it, of course, went to custodial parents to help them support, feed, clothe their children. Child support collections are part of the safety net. Most of our customers did formerly receive public assistance. Child support collections help them to remain independent. There are also major cost avoidance benefits of the child support program, and not just in avoiding cash TANF, but also in Medi-Cal expenses, since we established and enforced medical orders. I can't think of a day more sad in my professional life than today. Coworkers, colleagues are facing this reduction in force. The child support program could be a part of the budget solution. Instead of increasing funding, which the state could do, that funding increase would increase collections, and that would increase revenue to the locals, state, and federal governments, and it would also increase the safety net, and would also avoid costs in some of our costliest programs and biggest increase in cost programs like Medi-Cal. Instead of doing those increases, the state cuts the funding. This is truly tragic. We have done at the department, and with the help of the CEO's office, and other department heads as well, what we can do to balance the Child Support Services budget. And we, without having to do a reduction in force. And this strategy included doing a termination of a lease that is set forth in the agenda item. Now, because of the state of California's decision to cut our funding, we are here today to ask you to delete our 41 vacant positions and do a reduction in force of 21. That's 21 filled positions that people are actually there working. Unfortunately, if the state budget is ever passed, and if the state budget reduces our allocation further, I will be back here again. Regardless of our allocation, we will continue with our mission. The challenges are daunting, the stakes are high, but the opportunities are also great. And I'd like to turn it over to Jody to talk a little bit about the process of the reduction in force. But also, if you have any questions, I would take them first. I'm sorry, Jody.
Is there any questions? Seeing none, go ahead.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board, Jody Hayes from the Chief Executive Office, Human Resources Division. I'm here today just to give you a brief overview of the staffing recommendations that are before you in this agenda item. Our office has partnered closely with Mr. Ingersoll and the rest of his management staff to prepare the level of reductions that are necessary in the process that goes forward to maintain our compliance with our county labor agreements and so forth to implement this kind of a change. The recommendations that are before you are intended to bring the department's staffing allocation in line with their budget that was approved by this board in June. The department has been managing the impact of the 7 years of flat funding through maintaining vacant positions for quite some time now. They've actually averaged about 36 vacant positions for the first 8 months of this year, and currently that number is all the way up to 41 vacant positions. The current budget requires us to reduce 21 additional full-time positions in this department that would be effective November 7th, as well as the 41 vacant unfunded positions that they're currently carrying. We have been working with our designated labor representatives to prepare for this reduction in force. We've been out meeting with the groups of employees to inform them of the process that we're going to go through. We've continued to maintain those kinds of partnerships so that make this process as easy as possible for those impacted employees. Given the severity of these kinds of reductions. We've also encouraged other county departments to maintain budgeted vacancies where those are available in the county. There are many departments that have been holding vacancies that they have budgeted funds for that are preparing for this reduction in force. We've heard from many of those departments as late as this morning asking when they can start to interview some of these employees to potentially place them in other county departments, although there is no guarantee that those 21 impacted employees will find another position somewhere in the county. The reductions before you today equal approximately 10% of the current workforce in the department. I believe Mr. Ingersoll kind of laid out some of those impacts and what that will mean to this department and to this workforce. We do anticipate that there will be impacts in some way, shape, or form to the service of the department. Mr. Ingersoll mentioned them staying focused on their mission, but we do believe that the strategy and the staffing strategy that this department has put together situates them best to try to implement this kind of a significant change while minimizing those impacts to our community and to the services that they provide. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have regarding the actual reductions themselves or the staffing of the department and yourselves here as well.
Jody, you said this will take place in November?
The effective date for the change is November 7th.
And is that when the reduction of force takes place?
Yes.
Okay, but he also mentioned that if they ever pass a budget, would that if they pass a budget before November, would that keep these 21 people going?
It would depend on whether the funding is restored for this particular program right now. In the budgets that are that have been recommended by both the Assembly and the Senate, funding for these programs is not included. Okay. Based on discussions all summer long, we're not anticipating it. One of the reasons that you're hearing this in September and not in June was that we were hoping that there would be a change in the mindset of the legislature and administration to reconsider the decision to reduce funding in this program. Unfortunately, that has not occurred. If, in fact, the state does adopt a budget that does include funding for child support, then the layoffs would not be required. However, we just don't anticipate that's going to happen based on the behavior thus far.
Well, maybe, thank you, but maybe with their weekend off, maybe their mindset might have got better.
We never know.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Jody.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any questions for anybody?
Just a comment, and just something to David, to you and your staff.
Come on up, David, so you can answer it.
Not really a question, just a comment. And
okay.
Thanking you and your staff for the job that you have done. When you come with your annual report, you tell us how efficient your staff is with all the percentages and all the rest. You run a very efficient department. And there's no doubt that this reduction of force is going to have a serious impact on your department. And I just wish the people in Sacramento understood that this really impacts the people who need it the most. And so anyways, I know you'll continue to do the best job you can, but our lawmakers in Sacramento have to realize what the impacts are.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Supervisor.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Anything on this comment on this side?
This is the comment that I would make. It's unfortunate that we have to do this today. I'm very familiar with the department. I've been to them several times at the court as I watch the cases come out, and they're a very efficient department. And they return about $3 for every dollar spent. And this reduction is probably going to impact our social services and wind up costing the state even more than what they're reducting by quite a bit. It's really too bad that we have to do this today. We don't really want to do it, but there isn't any money to backfill these positions. And the department has done a good job. And it's unfortunate that it's come to this today.
I do want to acknowledge and thank the county department heads who are working with child support services to identify positions for which employees who will be displaced are qualified. And we have a philosophy in Stanislaus County when facing these types of reductions that we do try to find vacant funded positions to relocate our employees to. And it's successful only because the department heads are willing to work collaboratively to identify those positions and then and work in support of one another to assist in the transition from one position to another, from one department to another. And so I would say thank you to the department heads that have been so cooperative throughout this process. We've been preparing for this for several months now.
Okay, thank you. With that, we need a motion to accept. Do we have this?
I'll move for approval.
Okay. Second?
I'll vote for it, but I'd rather not second.
Well, I got somebody else. This like, okay, I got. Okay, you want to second it?
I'll second it.
Okay, he'll second it. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 5-0. Did you vote yes or no?
I voted yes. I didn't want to, but I did.
Okay. With that, we got a public hearing at 9:15. I'm not going to go down to anything else. We only got a minute or so before we can start. I'm not going to do correspondence right now. I'll just go ahead and just wait. Just cool your heels for about a minute and a half, and then while Patty comes up, Monica comes up, and just relax. Don't start it yet, Patty. It's not time. This will be the final budget fiscal year 2008-2009, September 9th. Here we go.
Yeah, I will.
You're going to give a little.
I will open.
Let's have something from the CEO.
These discussions with just a brief comment. First, expression of appreciation to CEO staff, particularly the leadership, Monica Nino and Patty Hill Thomas, in developing a difficult budget strategy and presenting it forward, and to the county department heads and their support staff in working through this process for final budget. One thing you'll hear as a recurring theme, actually you'll hear a couple things. One is that we don't really know where we're going to be with the 2008-2009 fiscal year budget, because we have no idea yet what the ultimate impact on local government will be of the, once the state adopts their budget. The second thing that you will undoubtedly hear more than once is discussion about our no backfill policy, the implications of that no backfill policy on the local budget resulting from actions that the state may or may not take when they finally get around to adopting their own budget. As you have just experienced with Mr. Ingersoll's presentation, the county has been very proactive in addressing budget issues that could have long-term adverse consequences on the overall county budget if not addressed. As you'll remember, we have been working along over the last 12 to 18 months when we've identified a service or operation for which we've been unable to identify funding. We've made the difficult decisions and we've moved the process forward, making the cuts either in budget or in staffing as necessary to assure that the Board of Supervisors, when you're presented with your budget decisions, will have the best information available to you, and to assure that the budget strategies of Stanislaus County will remain sound and manageable into the future. As we enter the final budget, I will remind you that this is actually a 16-month process, which we started in late winter of this year in our requesting of departments to reduce expenditures for the balance of the fiscal year. That did have significant success and has enabled us to bring forward to you what we believe to be a very prudent and responsible budget. The decisions and actions of the Board of Supervisors at the proposed budget and throughout fiscal year 2007 and 2008 have put us in the position we are today, which is to recommend to you a balanced budget and to speak with some confidence in our ability to meet whatever challenges the state sends our way over the next several months.
You know, that was exactly what I was going to say. You know, do you know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Very well.
Okay, but right now, well, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. Okay, now you guys are on, okay? Give us your best shot.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Patty Hill Thomas.
Speak up, though. I'm going to have deaf hang out, so
okay.
Speak up.
Is that better?
Yeah,
good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Patty Hill Thomas from the executive office, Monica Nino, and Tim Quartz with us. Just for a moment, I'd just like to take a moment and repeat something that Mr. Robinson said, thanking our department heads and their staff for working with us so collaboratively during these challenging times, and thanking your board for your leadership and your attention and your focus and your creativity in keeping us focused as well. It is a final budget we bring to you today that is affordable, and with the changes that come from Sacramento, we will continue to act in your direction to make the changes necessary so that we always maintain a balanced budget in Stanislaus County. I'd like to take a moment again and introduce and thank the CEO budget team, because they work well together and they work really hard. They include Christina Alfaro, Christy Amaral, Marnie Artis, Nancy Bronstein, Tara Chumley, Doris Foster, Jody Hayes, Brenda Kiley, Jim Quartz, Mark Lozier, Raul Mendez, Monica Nino, Stan Risen, Kelly Rodriguez, Cynthia Tomlinson, and a special thanks, we forget to mention them, Leticia Lomelli and Sandy Regalo, for the constant support of our efforts. And I take a moment to thank them because you know those people, and they all have, some of them have other primary responsibilities in the county. They work in human resources or some other function. But when it's budget time, they all come together, and I appreciate the opportunity to thank them.
Are they all here?
They are all here.
Why don't you stand up so we can see you? Come on, stand up where you at. I don't see one. There we go. Okay, there you go. Okay, now we know who you are. Okay, so we'll be talking to you. Okay, go ahead.
We bring to you today what we call the final budget addendum, and that is that it recommends only changes to the proposed budget that your board adopted after public hearing in June. The law is clear. It requires a county to adopt a final budget no later than September 18th of each year, and that's our recommendation to you today. You'll hear us say it probably too many times. You already know there is no state budget, but we've gone ahead and recommended to you what we think is an affordable spending plan, and we'll be prepared to come back to your board for policy decisions as a result of whatever happens when the state budget is adopted. You adopted that proposed budget in June, on June 10th, 2008, and we describe in our message to you and in this budget that we remain in fiscal limbo, but I think it's important to point out that budget action has been occurring this entire time in this 18-month period. Regrettably, in addition to the action you took this morning for child support services, we've already had to ask you to take action to reduce library services, building inspection services, behavioral health programs, all due to the fact that the state or the economy has caused revenue reductions, and we've responded under your direction in kind to reduce our expenses when necessary. In the proposed budget adopted in June, we anticipated some significant funding shortfalls. We continued to express a level of caution, and with your approval, implemented a 2% reduction in the previous fiscal year just ended in June, and most programs taking a 3% reduction in the proposed budget. Those reductions continue and have been absorbed for the most part by creativity and advanced planning by our county department heads. This budget is presented to you again today, and our work and our focus is based on your board priorities, which are listed on the screen. The final budget before you this morning is $966 million. This chart shows you where the funds are allocated on the expenditure side by your board's priorities. The largest priority spending area is in our healthy community, which is by and large our social service and health programs. And that's also the area probably most likely to receive additional reductions, because most of the revenue that comes to counties to provide those social service and health programs come from the state or federal government. Our largest area of expense for local discretionary revenues is our safe community programs at a little over 17%. The recommended final budget before you this morning that we'll review reflects an increase of just a little more than 2% from last year's final budget. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Jim Quartz.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
Well, you're going to have to go louder than that.
Good morning, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
You're going to have to beef it up a little bit, okay?
Okay, members of the board. We would like to briefly address our discretionary revenue position in the final budget.
Wait a minute, that thing is really spooky. Morning, what's going on? It's too close? Okay. Put it underneath your chin, like you're going to swallow it.
Okay, how's that?
Better, okay.
Better.
Okay.
Well, let's start again. We would like to briefly address our discretionary revenue position in the final budget as it compares to the proposed budget. The decrease of nearly $3.4 million is a 2% reduction to the $176.2 million estimated in the proposed budget document. This decrease is primarily attributed to the loss of property tax revenue. At the time the proposed budget was produced, it was expected that property values throughout the county would experience a 4 to 5% reduction. When the final property assessment roll was announced by the assessor in mid-June, the actual reduction was 6.87%. This decrease in value affects secured property tax revenue, supplemental property tax revenue, and property taxes received in lieu of vehicle license fees. These decreases are partially offset by increases from other sources of discretionary revenue. The change in the tax loss reserve fund requirement, which was approved earlier this morning, allows more of the revenue collected from delinquent property taxes to be used as discretionary revenue. An additional exposure that's not addressed in this final budget relates to sales tax revenue. Our final budget estimates remain unchanged from the proposed budget, but if consumer sales, both countywide and statewide, remain stagnant, our revenue expectations for the 1% sales tax and the half-cent public safety sales tax may need to be adjusted downward later in this fiscal year. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doran, Monica Nino from the Chief Executive Office. I will be going over, by board priority, the recommended final budget adjustments. The first will be a safe community. The departments included in the safe community are Animal Services, CEO OES Fire Warden, CEO Capital Projects, which is primarily our criminal justice. There are two trust funds that receives court fees, CEO County Operations, which includes jail medical, district attorney, grand jury, our integrated criminal justice information system, probation, public defender, and sheriff. Total recommended appropriations for a safe community are $167,432,050. The largest department within the safe community for budgeted appropriations is our sheriff's department at over $93 million, or 55.7% of our safe community recommended appropriations. The recommended final budget adjustment, there is only one that is being presented today, and that is for our sheriff's department. And we are recommending $150,000 for our Sheriff Operations Division to purchase two trucks and trailers for the mounted unit to provide sufficiency in remote locations. And that will be funded, a portion of that will be funded from our contract city's fund balance. There will be no new general fund dollars for that $150,000. For the Sheriff's Civil Division, we are recommending the purchase of two vehicles for a total of $80,000 that will be funded from fund balance from civil processing fees. The next board priority is a healthy community. The departments included in a healthy community are our Department of Area Agency on Aging, Veteran Services, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Child Support Services, Children's and Families Commission, Community Services Agency, and our Health Services Agency. Total recommended appropriations as part of the final budget today is $457,750,475. The largest department recommended budget in a healthy community is for our Community Services Agency, and that is 55% of a healthy community's board priority at over $254 million. The recommended final budget adjustments for today are for Area Agency on Aging. We are recommending $20,000 to fund salary and benefit costs that will be funded from the department's fund balance. For the Community Services Agency, we are recommending over $4 million. Primarily, that increase is for increased funds they're receiving for reimbursement for child care costs. And as you heard it earlier today, we are that reduction in force is occurring in our Department of Child Support Services, of impacting 21 filled positions. For a strong local economy, the departments included are Alliance WorkNet, our CEO Economic Development Bank, along with our library. Total recommended appropriations presented today are over $23 million, $446,417. There is a single recommendation for the library, and that's for $6,432, and that is as a result of a donation that was received, and that will enhance programming along with giving the department the ability to purchase materials. The next board priority is a strong agricultural economy and heritage. That includes our agricultural commissioner and cooperative extension. Total recommended appropriations for the final budget in this board priority is $4,727,372. The largest department in this area is our agricultural commissioner at $4,186,984. There are no recommended final adjustments for this board priority. Within a well-planned infrastructure, the departments included in this area are environmental resources, parks and recreation, planning and community development, and public works. Within this board priority, we are presenting today a budget of $126,655,724. The largest budget unit within this board priority is our Public Works Department, and that is at a level of 49% of a well-planned infrastructure system, and that totals $62,150,926. There are a number of final budget recommendations within a well-planned infrastructure. The first one is for environmental resources. We are recommending over $1.2 million for the landfill that will be funded from retained earnings, and that's primarily to purchase equipment to maintain adequate capacity for landfill operations. We are recommending an increase for the Tuolumne Regional Park contribution as part of the Stanislaus County's JPA contribution to the tune of $13,293. For planning and community development, we are recommending $13,000 for training within building permits, along with $10,000 to reestablish the Dangerous Building Abatement Fund. For public works, we are recommending $4.9 million increase in road and bridge for the North County Expressway Corridor that will be funded from regional transit impact fees, along with $50,000 that will be funded from public facility fees to do a facility master plan for the Morgan Road operation. The final board priority is our efficient delivery and public services. The departments include the assessor, the auditor controller, board of supervisors, chief executive office, clerk recorder, county council, general services agency, strategic business technology, and our treasurer tax collector. Total recommended final budget appropriations for business priority are $186,527,019. The largest budget that is appropriated within this area is for the county self-insurance funds, and that totals over $71,643,164. Within our efficient delivery, the recommended final budget adjustments, the first one is for the chief executive office. We are recommending the transfer of public facility fees to fund the continuation of that program study, along with an increase of $86,000 in our county match, which a portion of that will fund the tobacco earnings that goes towards our health services agency deficit, along with over a $16,000 increase in our contribution for our LAFCO agency. We are increasing appropriations in the county's debt service fund of $455,248, and we are recommending a reduction in appropriations for appropriations for contingencies of $974,412. Within the clerk recorder elections, we are recommending a reduction in salary costs of over $108,000, along with the dissolving of our fleet vehicle replacement fund. Earlier this year, the board approved going towards a lease program that was a more cost-effective approach to purchasing vehicles for the county, so we will be disillusioning that fund, and we will be reducing that, but to the tune of $763,439. Total staffing recommendations presented to you today are three deletions within our safe community, and this is as a result of not receiving state funding for these positions. Two of them are in our Sheriff's Department. One was for the CalMet program, and one was for the Justice Administration program, which is referred to as JAG. The other one is for our District Attorney, which also was in our CalMet program. Both of these positions are not filled at this time, and they were unfunded. That will bring our total allocated positions to 4,459. The following is our preliminary budget schedule. We will be back before the board for our first quarter report, which will take place the first week in November, and we will be before you in the end of February to present our mid-year fiscal report.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we continue to face and watch closely several exposures and consider several challenges. In addition to the fact that there's no state budget, there is significant attention in Sacramento, and we use the term, don't use it lightly, we quote the idea of borrowing from local funds, the Proposition 1A funds, the Proposition 42 funds, which are transportation dollars, Proposition 10 funds, which are Children's and Family Commission program dollars, and Proposition 63 funds, which are for mental health services and programs. Those proposals continue to get serious consideration at the state level. There are literally hundreds of proposals and considerations, particularly in the Joint Conference Committee work, to reduce certain health and human service programs. As of about June, in the conference committee's work, our community services agency had estimated that if the conference committee's recommendations for budget reductions for social service programs were to be implemented in Stanislaus County alone, that impact would be greater than $20 million. $20 million in program reductions, and a good amount of that out of the local economy. We continue to stay vigilant and watch those decisions being made. There's also regrettably significant discussion about reducing criminal justice program funding. The CalMet enforcement programs, juvenile justice programs, jail efficiencies or booking fees alone in Stanislaus County are over $800,000 and offset the county's cost of operating a county jail system. And we continue to see the child support and adult protective services programs challenged. There is a decline, obviously due to the impact of the real estate market in our economy, in transfer fees revenues that directly impact the DA's real estate fraud program. You acted earlier for the reduction in force, and as I noted earlier, you've already taken action coming up to the start of the new fiscal year to make reductions in several other key county programs. Overall, we do think there's a significant, we are concerned in the coming year, we are concerned now about the increased cost to retirement systems and the effect of our retirement programs and other actions. There are significant threats to local programs, and it is very likely that we will come back to you sooner than the first quarter report if a state budget is enacted prior to then. Finally, the whole issue of state prisons and how it affects jails and how it affects communities could have not only a significant program and community effect, but a fiscal effect as well in Stanislaus County. We have before you today 10 recommendations. They are all related to accepting and approving the final budget after you hold the scheduled public hearing this morning, that to direct the changes that you wish to be made and direct the CEO and the auditor controller to make the final technical changes to comprise the final budget, that we ask you to direct the chief executive officer and auditor controller to prepare the final document in accordance with state law prior to December 1st, 2008. That you make the recommended changes to the salary and position allocation resolution described in your report, that you also approve all of the contracts and our agreements that we've reported to you in our budget, that you approve decreasing designations for carryover appropriations in the general fund as recommended in the budget by $1,791,000, and make changes to the Economic Development Bank and increase the designations for the Community Development Fund. We also recommend that you establish a designation in the Special Revenue Fund of just over $6.4 million for behavioral health and recovery services for all of the capital expenses associated with our mental health services. And to finally reestablish appropriations in the 2008-2009 fiscal year for approved cumbrances and carry forward appropriations in all funds recommended in the proposed and final budget at just over $24.9 million. And with that, we would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Is there any questions of staff, board members?
So what is the status of the booking fees? Because that keeps coming up. Does the state decide whether or not we can keep those fees?
Yeah, the state will establish legislatively, probably as part of the budget trailer bill, assuming we someday have a budget, whether or not the booking fee program as it is currently constituted, which at this time is funneled through the state to the local agencies administering adult detention programs, the outcome of the future funding for adult detention is currently unknown. I think that if I was going to make an educated guess, I would say that funding is, as it is currently constituted, will be discontinued as part of the ultimate budget solution for the state.
Don't the cities are the ones that pay that?
Well, they don't now. They have historically, but they modified the program so that the funds actually pass through from the state general fund to the local agencies as an alternative to the cities picking up that cost. Historically, yes, that has been the case. The cities have paid a proportional share of the cost based on the cost of actually booking. That was determined by doing an analysis of the steps necessary to book an individual.
Is there anyone else up here that would like to ask any questions? I know. Okay. I have a request from DA, Carol Shipley from the DA. Would you like to talk to us a little bit today?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering, Assistant District Attorney Carol Shipley. District Attorney Birgit Flatiger wanted this board to know that the District Attorney's Office is fully aware of the very difficult budget situation facing the state and this county. Given the uncertainty of the entire situation, we have not made any requests for additional funding. However, we have provided to the CEO, budget staff, a listing of our current needs and potential funding challenges. These have been incorporated into the proposed and final budget documents. In response to the budget situation, we have severely cut back on training, we have delayed filling positions, and left others open. We are running leaner at a time when the volume and complexity of our caseload is not reflecting a commensurate reduction. We are currently holding the line and able to fulfill our basic public safety obligations. However, we wish to make it very clear that if we are unable to maintain our current staffing level, there will be a negative impact on our ability to uphold our end of the public safety equation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have a question. You say we're going to talk about this again in September. Okay. Go back to 1 year's charge. We're going to talk about this again when?
Our first quarter report comes back to you in November. And so that's the next time we'll do
official. We're going to take comments in September. September what?
No, we're going to take comments this morning.
Okay.
And we'll just give you a regular financial report in November and each quarter there.
Okay, we're not going to continue talking about this in September, to this meeting, the next meeting, the next meeting.
Yeah.
I thought because Ford said that we'd take comments.
What this state statute requires that a public hearing be open for the purpose of presenting the final budget, and that public hearing continue until all comments are heard. As part of our scheduling process, we do identify multiple days during which the board could choose to meet and deliberate on the state budget, just in case you should decide to do that. However, we're not anticipating, given the nature of this budget and the fact that it's balanced as recommended to you, that those additional days will be necessary. Having said that, we're also anticipating that once the state does adopt a budget and we are familiar and with the budget components, that we will be coming back to you to outline our evaluation and estimation of the impacts of the state budget on our local operations. So two separate issues.
Okay, two separate issues. I just didn't want to become like the state, you know, and can't make a decision. Truthfully, I like to get things done, and if we continue to hear it and to hear it and to hear it, I mean, then we're just as bad as they are.
We're hoping that you will accept the recommendations presented to you this morning.
Well, I hope so, too, yeah.
We can move on.
Okay. Okay, listen, if we need to accept this record, what is it?
I need to close it.
Okay. Did I open it?
No.
Okay. Right. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing. Okay. All right. Now it's closed, and now we can decide either to accept it or not. I need a motion one way or the other.
Don't move.
Dick made the motion. Bill O'Brien. Okay. Well, I saw your finger. I saw your finger first.
I thought I heard a second, but I'll say.
Oh, okay. I saw your finger first. Okay. Okay, do you want more public comment? Okay, on this. Is there any more public comment on what we all talked about this morning. You've heard it all. Okay, I don't see anybody. Okay.
Did I ask one more question there?
I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
And the district attorney's unit for fraud, real estate fraud, is that unit still intact with full funding?
At this current time, the real estate fraud unit is still intact with a deputy district attorney, an investigator, and a part-time investigator. Whether or not we will have to come back to this board and ask for additional funding because the revenue will not cover those salaries is something we'll have to wait and see.
Some of your revenue from that is from the clerk recorder's office for real estate transactions.
It is usually from there. That's what we anticipate, is all of it coming from the transactions, the recorded transactions. And this board has given us additional funding when it hasn't, when that funding hasn't met the need.
Okay.
Thank you.
If I could add to that, Supervisor DeMartini, as Ms. Shipley mentioned, there is the real estate transfer revenue, but this board did approve over $226,000 in general fund dollars towards that program as part of the proposed budget for 2008-2009.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I have a motion. I have a first and a second right now. Is there any more questions from the board regarding anything we talked about this morning? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Okay, we're going to correspondence.
This board has received from the Covanta Energy Corporation Form 10-Q for the second quarter ended June 30, 2008.
Refer this to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received six letters from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration granting a secretarial disaster designation and declaring South Slope County as a primary and as a contiguous county due to the agriculture losses caused by drought and cold temperatures beginning in October 15, 2007 and continuing.
Refer this to the Agricultural Commissioner Sealer of Weights and Measures and the San Saw Economic Development of the Workforce Alliance.
This board has received two letters from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Agriculture's granting of a secretarial disaster designation for San Saw County as a primary and as a contiguous county due to the drought conditions beginning October 1st, 2007 and continuing.
Refer this to the Agriculture Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures and the San Saw County Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received the following claims as noted on the agenda.
This board, okay, I recommend acknowledge and see the claims, refer to the Chief Executive Office. Is there any Board of Supervisors reports?
I'd just like to make a comment on our budget. The state being so far behind on its budget has really put the county in a very bad position. We are, as a Chief Executive Officer says, fiscal limbo. And that's where we are today. But whatever the state does, and they better come up with a budget pretty soon, they had better not take our local funding, borrowing it or stealing it, because we have, you know, all of our departments to run, 26 of them and 4,400 employees, and it puts us in just a terrible position if the state comes along and steals our money. They have to come up with a budget that's balanced like ours without stealing local funding. That I'm going to say, and we're going to be watching them pretty closely, but I just can't believe we're past 2 months already without a state budget.
Okay, is there anything down here? Okay, I got to ask a question. Yeah, it's been years ago. Didn't we at one point talk about using natural gas? Didn't we look into a natural gas refueling system for the county if we did go to natural gas vehicles?
And we do have some CNG vehicles.
Oh, here he comes. Come on up, man. Tell me about it. First off, let me ask a question. Do we have a refueling system for the cars or trucks? Do we have it?
We do. We have a fast fill system at the Morgan Yard.
Okay.
And it's used to fill all of our transit vehicles, or the big buses, some of the smaller ones not, and a lot of our heavy-duty vehicles, and a lot of our pickups and a handful of cars. So
okay.
We do have a pretty robust fueling facility with backup.
Okay. Do we at some point, are we investing in vehicles that operated by the county? We are investing in that type of vehicle so that we can at least say when the air pollution comes out and say, okay, you guys aren't doing your share, okay, that we might be able to say, oh, yes, we are, and then that we continue to purchase these kind of vehicles. For one thing, they're much cleaner burning than gas, and maybe some point in the future that we should be able to say that.
Yeah, this year and last year, we've spent nearly $1 million each year on replacement of vehicles, heavy duty and light duty, through CMAQ grants. So it's the congestion mitigation air quality federal grants that we have received. So we've spent a sizable amount of money to replace vehicles just for that reason. So we've converted those to CNG vehicles. So we're excited about it. Not only does it, you know, provide the air quality amenities, but there's funding out there for it. And additionally, the ongoing fueling cost is quite a bit less than gasoline and diesel. So
I think
it's a win-win for us.
Yeah, I think that it costs about $2 for natural gas per gallon?
Right around that area.
Okay. If you took all of our vehicles, what would you say the cost of buying gas for those things would be? I know, forget the diesel for right now. Mm-hmm. But if we took all the cars we had and that are on gas, what that cost would be, and if we could cut that cost down exactly in half, which we could do.
Yeah, I don't know the amount. I know that towards the end of the last fiscal year, we had to increase our apportionment by about $40,000 just for the diesel and gasoline side,
mm-hmm.
and that was just to get us through the last couple months. So we're probably in the $300,000-$400,000 range a year for fuel alone, and so if you could convert them all, you could potentially cut that in half. That's
really, you got a spot for that $300,000 or $400,000.
Oh yeah,
you got a spot for it then.
I think we do.
Okay.
Yes.
I appreciate the income of your comment there, because it's something that we should be looking at. So that way we'd make Bill O'Brien happy down there. He's on the Air Pollution Board. He can say what we're doing, and maybe the rest of them would get the idea.
Yep.
What do you think, Bill?
Absolutely.
Attaboy. Okay.
Thank you,
Matt.
With that?
Okay. Oh, I'll ask Jack. DeMartini says that right at this point that he's tired of it. We're tired of it. No budget. They're taking our money. How much? Now I got to exercise my power. How much power do we have to say anything one way or the other? What the state does to us, one way or the other, we don't.
Well, you certainly have your free speech rights to...
Oh, yeah, free speech. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. But I mean, any actual power.
You have no power at all.
At all.
Whatever, to
okay.
Control...
So that would answer DeMartini's question, that he's tired of hearing about what the state's going to do to us. And so when we get right down to it, we have no power. Right?
To affect the change in the state budget. That's
okay. All right. With that, let's see what we got. What do we got left here? Okay. Legislative, fiscal, and manager report from our chief executive officer.
I have nothing to add this morning.
You're kidding. Okay. Announcement, there will be a groundbreaking celebration for the Stanislaus County Regional Water Safety Training Center at the Empire Community Park, Yosemite Boulevard and I Street at Empire, on Friday, September the 12th at 6 p.m. Bill O'Brien, that'll be in your district. Good luck. Okay. With that, there's no closed session. We are adjourned.